Hi. So in this talk, we'd like to take you on a journey across the environmental materiality of digital services. So the speakers in front of you, here's David. My name is Benoit. We are contributors to an NGO called Boa Vista that we'll present briefly later. We also are colleagues in a small company called Hublot working on ICT environmental impacts. Regarding Boa Vista, so the NGO we work for and this is the work of this NGO we present to you today. This is an NGO based in France that gathers more than 250 members now, private companies, public organizations, universities, researchers, freelancers, and so on. And the goal of the organization is to provide public and open methods, data, tools, and knowledge about environmental impacts of ICT and its assessment. And of course, we try to provide useful open source, open data, and open science stuff.
Thank you, Benoit. So today's objective will be to see how can we get from a digital service to its environmental materiality. An environmental materiality is another way of saying its environmental impact, and it includes not only its carbon emission, but also all of the other pollution and its usage of renewable and non-renewable resources. To do this, we need to follow a process which is called environmental accounting. And at Boa Vista, we have chosen to do it with an open source approach. What is very difficult when you're doing accounting, environmental accounting in the context of ICT is that you must take into account all the value chain of your digital service, including the end user equipment, network, data centers, so all of the infrastructure that your service is using. But you also need to take into account another dimension, which is the life cycle phases. So you don't want to only include the use phase, the impact of the use phase, but only the impact, but also the impact of manufacturing the equipment that your service is running on, transporting those equipment to their place of usage, using them, and also the end of life of the equipment. Today, we won't be able to dig in all of the dimension. So you see on the slide what we're gonna focus, but Boa Vista is working on all of the dimension here. It's still me. So why have we decided to do open source? So we are at FOSDEM. I think everyone here is convinced that we should do all of data and development with an open source process. But when we talk about environmental accounting, it's more for us, it's more specifically important to follow an open approach. First, because we believe it's a democratic necessity. Environmental figures are often used to justify political orientation. For instance, the Green New Deal is full of environmental figures, and we believe that citizens should be able to criticize, audit, and criticize the figures that are being used to make political orientation. Also, environmental figures and environmental accounting are used to label products and services. I think you might have seen some data centers who said that they are greener than green. But to say this, you need to rely on figures, environmental figures, and often those claims are not based on open approaches and figures, which is for us a problem since consumers cannot audit and criticize the figure. There is also a very more straightforward argument is because today environmental accounting in the context of ICT is very immature. So the data that we use, the data that we report are of very bad quality. To illustrate this, we've done some work. We normalize the carbon impact of manufacturing 1 inch of a LED panel, so LED a screen, and this is the impact for manufacturing 1 inch, the carbon footprint. And you see from the 5 data sources that you have here, we have a magnitude of 10 between the lowest impact and the highest impact. We could think that HP has a way better environmental friendly process than Dell, but this is not the case. At least we cannot, this is not the justification for this difference. This difference is there is this difference because all of those providers are not using the same data sources, the same hypotheses, and the same method. And because all of those are not open, we are not able to explain you why there is those difference. So open source should be a way, if all of those figures were based on open source approaches, we could try to normalize those impact, compare the provider once again to another, and explain why different providers have different impacts.
So let's first focus on the energy footprint. So I guess the energy footprint is the part of the ICT footprint we mostly think about when we work in ICT. That's easier to get a grasp on it. But as David said, it's still, when we look at energy in ICT, it's still only one part of the impact. So it's really about the usage phase. It doesn't cover the rest, which can be a way greater impact than just the usage phase. That's also true for data centers. In what I will present to you today, most of the information are accurate for data centers. Some of them may be applied to end user equipment, but we didn't include specific information on network equipment for technical reasons and also because it's hard to get data on that part. So first, a little bit of context regarding data centers. I don't know if you've seen the latest figures from the IEA. IEA is International Energy Agency, and it's a rather conservative organism so far regarding ICT environmental impact figures. But their latest figures is quite enlightening because we can see that in 2022 we were around 400 terawatt hour of energy consumed by data centers, which is the double from what they previously said for 2020, which is a bit strange. And also that their projection for 2026, so in 2 years, says that it will double again, so around 800 terawatt hours. Part of it is because of AI, but not only. You guessed it. So this is the context. What we can say here, at least, is that we are really in an hypergrowth trend and not the opposite. That's not what we have seen in some medias like data centers, energy consumption is flat. That's not the case. Then what's the issue here actually? What we want to look at? It's not just about the energy consumption, of course. I think I won't teach anything to anyone in this room when I say that energy consumption means that we at some point consume oil, gas, and coal, or other energy sources. This will emit greenhouse gas emissions, of course, but we will also consume water in the process. We will consume water for, if we take into account the cooling of the data center, and we will consume minerals and metals and other resources. Not all the resources that we can account for are listed on the draw, but there are 16 at least. There are 16 environmental criteria that we take into account in Boavista tools. So what do you have in your position to work on your own energy consumption of the energy consumption of your services? So we have talked during the day in this room about Perf and PowerTop. There are other options as well. Of course, there are physical measurement devices, so smart PDUs, ID rack or ID low administration cards if you have them on your server, watt meters in general. This is one way. The other way is software evaluation. So those are the options that I've listed on the top. All of them are open source solutions. If you are, let's say, in a bare metal server context, you might choose Power API, Perf, PowerTop, Scaffold. If you are in, let's say, more in a development phase of software, you could use PowerJula. If you are in a Kubernetes context, Kepler or Scaffold may help you. And if you are in a machine learning context, Code Carbon could be of good help. And those are some examples. What's behind the scene is actually interfaces that have been mentioned previously in the day. So NVIDIA SMI for getting the energy consumption of GPUs, REPL for Intel or AMD x86 CPUs. And the third approach is modeling. So we could classify this as measurement. This is more about modelization. And some of